the Happy Afloat podcast, tales of family adventures at sea.
Hello and welcome. I am Jason, the skipper of Happy Afloat. Meet my motley crew. Leon.
Hello.
Conrad.
Ahoy there, shipmate.
And my lovely wife, Sarah.
Hello. If you are new to the podcast, then welcome.
Well, don't start here.
You can if you want to, but this is part 15 of our summer adventure, and you would have missed most of the story.
If you want to follow this sailing adventure from the beginning,
hit the rewind button and start at episode 13,
which is part 1 of the story. And if you want to know how to prepare for an extended adventure,
then start at the very beginning.
For old hands, make yourself comfortable.
And we'll begin.
In this episode,
we continue exploring more of the Outer Hebrides.
More tales from our summer adventure.
Okay, where had we got to?
After two comfortable nights at anchor in the lee of Eileen Muir,
the smaller of the two Shant Islands.
Now, if you don't know where the Shant Islands are, this is a perfect time to visit our website.
There are now a couple of map options on the site to help you visualise our travels.
We have a mini map of the Hebridean part of our adventure.
And we have a story map page, which allows you to follow the adventure from our starting point in Chatham.
The story map is very cool. As you scroll through the story, the map changes to show you the actual locations and photos.
Happyafloat.com.
It was time to move onwards and upwards.
While at anchor, we appear to have fallen into a radio wave hole.
And hadn't received any VHF forecasts since arriving.
And before you ask, no, we hadn't lost our VHF aerial under the Scalpay Bridge. Listen to the previous episode for more details on that drama.
The weather wasn't exactly enticing. Foggy with about half a mile visibility.
Fortunately, the Navtex was working. I think we may have mentioned our Navtex system in the past. Basically, it's just a box with no screen that beams out Bluetooth to an app.
The Navtex forecast didn't mention any fog, so we figured it must just be local to these islands.
The Navtex did warn that some of the local VHF aerials were not working. That probably explained the radio silence.
At breakfast o'clock, the radar was engaged.
And off we went.
All eyes and ears were focused on the waterline.
Although in a remote location, we knew there were at least four boats in close proximity.
We had been catching a brief glimpse of the other boats as they left the anchorage too.
We didn't see any other boats until the fog cleared.
However, we did spot quite a few shearwaters in the random pockets of good visibility.
The sun finally made an appearance just in time for coffee.
Our chosen anchorage of Loch Shell was not to the skipper's liking.
Too many fish farms, equipment, and not very attractive.
So, not for us.
After a quick consultation with the chart, the destination moved further north to the next loch.
There was a huge fish farm at the loch entrance.
But it was much more scenic further in.
And we dropped the hook in Loch O'Dan and just chilled for the rest of the day.
Okay, boys. Fish farms, what do we think? Comrade?
Good if you want to catch some fish, as quite often you find escaped ones, but unsightly, ugly, although they are a good source of employment.
Yeah, but I think they're turning out to be an environmental disaster and a lot of places are starting to ban them.
Oh, I would know about this because I have done an environmental management GCSE.
Okay, tell us all about it.
Well, fish farms are good for the production of fish, but not good for the environment itself. It can provide employment opportunities. That is important for the country, but escaped fish can cause harm to the environment as they've eaten different things, not always natural stuff.
When scrolling through Facebook, the locals were up in arms because they can't just throw dead fish back in the sea. Unless they've got a license, they have to go to a landfill, and they're literally filling up the landfill with tons and tons of dead, rotting fish.
Oh, that's disgusting. It's a natural thing to just chuck your dead fish back into the sea.
Yeah, but we're talking about tons of them. When they get diseases in one of these nets, it's like the whole the fish.
Fish from the fish farm. I didn't realize
that. If one gets ill, the rest all die.
So they need to dispose of tons of these fish. And they need a special license just to throw them back in the water, presumably, because it's basically an ecological disaster.
Yeah, contaminate everything else, all the good fish.
But yes, it's the usual way of the environment being destroyed for the sake of profit.
We'll be politically neutral.
Mm. Capitalist.
Well, this family.
Oh, no more politics. That's enough.
On a cloudy and relatively windless morning, we raised the anchor and left our peaceful haven.
Was an end destination of Big Town,
also known as Stornoway.
There wasn't much wind, the sea was flat, so it was perfect wildlife spotting conditions.
A few hours later, we arrived in Stornoway.
Hold on, aren't you missing something?
No, I don't think so.
The whales!
Bingo! The race for chocolate buttons began.
It's much slower, much longer, and there you go. 1 o'clock.
Whoa.
Did you see it?
Just about there.
Oh, what's that right up there?
Three zippers. Oh, I didn't see.
One, two, three.
Oh, we're going to get lucky and get a whole host of them.
Oh, no, look, that's a whale.
I said so.
That's one, two.
Yay, we've made it.
And I saw one of them.
Yeah.
Hey.
Look at it.
Whoa. You see it?
1 o'clock. And again, 1 o'clock. It? You see it?
You see it, Leon? Oh, keep looking. 1 o'clock. Do you want the binoculars? Okay.
How many do we think there are?
Three.
Yeah, I think three or four.
They'd be travelling and slow swim as well.
There's a lot of puffins out here as well. Mm. Look at them, just down here.
Oh, how exciting! Handshake. Congratulations on seeing the first pod of whales.
Thank you very much, sir. It has taken us how many years of coming up here, trying to find them?
2018 was our first trip, 1923.
With the boys, anyway. And we've finally spotted not just one, but a whole pod.
Of three!
Congratulations, Conrad, for finally seeing a whale.
We've seen them.
Minky number two was alone and very close.
How close, exactly?
We want is to be close enough to hear them, like their blowhole and things.
Yeah.
That would be quite cool. Instead, we get the flogging of sails as the wind dies.
Whoa! Where's the camera? All we need to hear is it blow. Did you hear that?
I did. Minky, right here. Right at the back.
Give me a look
busy looking at the front.
I don't know, 20 metres off the back of the boat. We heard it and looked.
You smell it?
No. Yeah. It smells of fish. Oh, cool.
I even managed to snap a photo.
Close enough to smell.
A storm petrel flew past.
And it was dolphin and whales galore.
Minke whales, bottlenose dolphins, porpoises.
It was a good job we'd invested in a host of identification books.
Okay, Conrad, have you got any minke whale factoids?
I'm glad you asked. So I've got lots of facts.
Well, give us just the first 20.
Okay. Although they are the smallest baleen whale, that means a filter feeding whale, by the way, minke whales are long and thin with a white band on each pectoral fin.
Which one's the pectoral fin?
The ones on the sides.
Okay.
By the way, in length it's about 8 to 10 metres generally.
Wow.
But ooh, for filter feeders, generally they're a lot bigger.
Almost the size of the boat.
And a white underside in contrast to their black back. They also have a more pointy head than most whales.
Why?
I'm not actually sure about that. Although many filter feeding whales have a more pointed head, they've got an extremely pointed head. If I find a picture, you'll see.
I don't know if you fully understood the medium of audio. Maybe we can put a picture up on the website.
Yeah, that could work. They're commonly seen between April and October.
Oh, why is that then?
I think they actually migrate up here.
Oh, okay, interesting.
I think it's like how Risso dolphins follow the jellyfish, they follow...
the plankton?
Yes.
Is that what they eat? Big
yeah,
filter feeders.
Most filter feeders eat things like plankton. Although I can't remember the specific type of plankton. Unfortunately, they're threatened by marine litter, pollution, commercial whaling, and ship strikes. Because although commercial whaling is, from memory, banned in this country, they're still a target of it in other countries that they go to. They can also be entangled in fishing nets, if that wasn't clear.
Okay, anything else?
Seismic surveys during gas and oil exploration may cause cetaceans, including minke whales, physical harm at close ranges. They do communicate using many high-pitched noises, so it's probably in their hearing range. Do you want more?
How much more have you got?
Quite a lot.
Moving on.
Finally, on our third trip to Scotland and our attempt for the kids to see a whale, we were inundated with them. It couldn't have been a better day for all of us.
Another thing ticked off the list.
So, boys, what was it like to finally see a whale up close? Leon, you can go first.
It was quite an amazing experience.
Conrad, what are your feelings on the subject?
It was amazing! It was amazing being surrounded by all these brilliant, gigantic, minke whales. The dolphins were quite cool too.
Yeah, they're always cool dolphins. Sarah?
I was just delighted that we finally got to see some after several years of promising. Jason, what was your view?
Yeah, whales, cool.
Having got clearance to enter Stornoway Harbour, we pootled past the fishing quayside.
And spotted the infamous, friendly, local resident seal!
Much to our delight.
Who doesn't love a cheeky seal?
Then Happy Afloat took a berth in the quietish marina.
It was a hot day, as in shorts and t-shirts hot.
Regular listeners will by now know of our familiar routine when ashore.
Ice cream, fish and chips, and grocery shopping.
Don't forget the laundry.
If only. And the seemingly endless hunt for a gas refill.
So, we'll just give you the highlights.
Really?
I think by now our listeners know that we don't do highlights.
First, we went on the hunt for an ice cream parlour.
And we couldn't find one.
When we asked a local, the cynical response was there isn't demand for an ice cream parlour as the sun rarely shines.
Disheartened, we consoled ourselves with supermarket ice cream instead.
But it just doesn't give the same experience.
Big town means domestic duties take priority.
So it was time to explore the supermarkets and continue our hunt for a magic blue bottle.
Which magic blue bottle?
Camping gas, of course.
Surely, in big town, there'd be somewhere that had some.
Initial inquiries weren't promising on the gas front.
Next on our list was the fish and chips.
The staff at Port Control recommended Cameron's Chippy.
I could have hugged the guys who'd recommended it.
Our takeaway was amazing.
Second only to our favourite chippy at home.
Well, I'd say that was an equivalent.
It was the end of a fantastic day all round.
It turned out the locals' forecast was correct about the weather. It was now wet.
But it was time to put on our tourist hats and visit the local sites anyway.
Stornoway is the capital town of Harris and Lewis in the Outer Hebrides.
The marina is across the water from Stornoway Castle, so we took a walk to check out the Gaelic Museum.
Which is located within the castle.
We learned about the famous Lewis chessmen.
What did you learn?
It's a chess set found in Lewis.
From memory, back then, weren't the rooks called berserkers? Because I remembered getting some confusion when reading it that they didn't have rooks and instead had what were called berserkers.
Yeah, I think the famous thing about the Lewis chessmen is they were found in Lewis and they actually came from Scandinavia.
And they're specially carved as well.
Yeah, yeah.
They look amazing. Didn't we get some photos with giant models of them?
Yes. What do we think of the museum overall?
Quite good. Has some of the original chessmen in it.
It's got one or two, hasn't it?
Most of them are probably destroyed.
No, they're in other museums. They're spread out all around the place.
Yeah, I remember when reading there was like various museums from places where they were originally found then wanted to claim them back as part of their heritage.
There may be some of them in the British Museum as well. But apart from the Lewis chessmen, what do we think of the rest of the museum?
I have quite a bit on the crofting.
Crofting.
Isn't this the museum that had all the Gaelic written up the... Oh, now I remember it. That was brilliant. Didn't it have how to thatch a roof?
Yeah, there are all sorts in there. It's really good.
After the museum, we went to the chandlery.
There's a very good chandlery at Stornoway. The best chandlery we'd seen on the West Coast.
Think chandlery come general hardware store. More geared towards the fishing industry, but very well stocked.
I spotted an extendable 3-metre painting pole.
And then Mum got excited.
As she was wanting a longer boat hook for the docking stick.
Pole was purchased and I got the job of adding a boat hook to the end of the pole.
Et voila. We made ourselves an extending boat hook for £15.
After ringing around for the magic blue bottle, somewhere finally declared they had two bottles in stock.
Wasting no time, we rushed as quickly as we could to a builder's merchant at the edge of town.
To lay claim to one of them.
At an extortionate cost of £41.
Given how hard it was proving to find gas, we didn't really have an option to wait until we could find it cheaper elsewhere.
Actually, as a side note, we were watching that YouTube channel last night, Sailing Gypsy, and they were complaining they just literally paid £54 for a bottle of camping gas.
Yeah. Prices are going up.
Mum and Dad were grumpy.
As it only cost us £25 to get a bottle back home.
The marina started to fill up with many boats.
Many that we had been sharing marinas, pontoons and anchorages with during our travels.
We caught up with the crew of Jupiter, who we'd shared a lock with in the Calais Canal.
As I'm sure you remember, they'd also started out from the River Medway.
Jupiter's plans were now to start heading back south.
But what about us? What was our plan?
North?
Or south?
Before starting the summer adventure, one of our thoughts was to maybe circumnavigate Scotland and go over the top.
This thought was now our plan. We would circumnavigate Scotland via Orkney.
We decided to stay another day, as the forecast was wet and windy.
Not your ideal holiday weather.
Time to prep the boat for the next week. We needed fuel, but didn't fancy tying up along the fishing quayside to get it,
as it was not yacht friendly and the tidal range would be an issue.
Thankfully, the fabulous harbour staff offered a door-to-door service
and filled up their own jerry cans and brought it to the boat for us.
They even offered to pour it into our tanks, all for 99p a litre.
It seems that the further north you go, the cheaper diesel gets.
The cupboards were full?
All the tanks were full.
We were ready to head east and towards the mainland and work our way further north.
Hold on, before we leave, it's facility review time. What do we think of the facilities at Stornoway, Sarah? Go on, tell us about the laundry.
Actually, the laundry was very good. It's very busy. I think it was the busiest laundry I'd come across on our travels that summer.
Yeah, they've got their own dedicated laundry room, haven't they?
Yeah, which is nice and toasty if it's cold and wet outside. A dry gave a full dry, so I was happy. The showers were okay.
Well, they're in a porter cabin, yeah. And the problem with porter cabin showers is they get tired quite quickly, don't they?
But those were actually quite nice. But porter cabins, by their nature, are generally quite cold. Nothing worse than getting out of a nice warm shower into the cold. But apart from that, they don't really have much in the way of facilities, do they? You have to go to the harbour office.
Which is a bit of a hike.
Yeah, it's a sort of all-encompassing harbour, marina, port authority office. But they were very helpful, the staff in there.
Yeah, the staff are super, super friendly. Yeah,
really nice. Very user-friendly.
I think actually when you come to berth there, because you ready them up, and they actually come out and grab your lines for you, don't they?
They do, sure, don't they? Because we asked if we were trying to identify which berth it was, and he said, don't worry, I'll come and help you with your lines. And they do come on their high-vis jacket and
very good
meet and greet.
And what do we think of Stornoway overall?
Quite nice.
What did you like the most?
All the Gaelic written on the walls of the museum.
Actually, isn't that when you popped in tourist information, didn't you buy a book on learning Gaelic?
I got it.
I
can quickly get it if you want me to.
That's okay. But have you not memorised it? You're going to quote some.
I only remember one word of Gaelic.
Go on.
Big.
Big. Does that mean big?
No, it means small.
How do you spell it? Is it like
B-E-A-G?
Excellent.
We've all learnt something.
It's Gaelic, not Gaelic, Mum.
You've committed a sin.
Oh, no. We probably asked them that as well.
We did.
Yes, and then I'm the only one who can still say Gaelic by its name.
As can I.
What's his name?
Gaelic.
Is that what I said earlier?
Yes, but Mum doesn't.
Oh, dear.
Sorry.
So you're not
I seem to remember
one,
that
Leon.
Mum corrected me in a couple of episodes ago.
Probably did, and now I've forgotten.
And now Mum needs to be corrected. The tables have turned.
Moving on.
The lovely voice of the Stornoway Coast Guard reported fair winds.
So we set off expecting a lovely sail.
After 2 hours of great sailing,
the wind died.
The engine went on.
The swell set in.
Our idyllic sail turned into a torturous motor sail, with three of us feeling pretty grim.
Late in the afternoon, we arrived at our destination.
Badcool Bay was just like being on the east coast.
Shallow, with just 2 metres under the keel.
We were pretty exhausted, but it was pizza night.
And the barbecue pizza is a ceremonious occasion.
But it started raining, and barbecues don't like rain.
So we barbecued under the cockpit enclosure instead. It's a cob barbecue, so pretty safe, with the enclosure sides rolled up.
Badcool Bay reminded us of home. Bird sounds like the Medway, shallow like the Medway. However, the view was much better.
Well rested after doing not a lot,
we headed up to Handa Island.
It's a nature reserve.
And famed for its bird life.
The boys in particular were very excited about this,
as we'd watched BBC Spring Watch from Handa Island.
What wildlife would we see?
Ah, well, that is a story for another time.
Oi, cheeky. Conrad, I understand you have a book review for us.
Correct, I do. Today I'll be giving you a review of Alessia in Atlantis and the Jellyfish Jailbreak, which is the sequel to Alessia in Atlantis and the Forbidden Vial. This book takes place about a month after the end of the Forbidden Vial and is set at first back on land, but quickly, unlike the first book, goes straight back underwater again into Atlantis.
So she doesn't go back to Hogwarts then?
No, that's Harry Potter.
Oh, I thought she was at some boarding school as well.
Yeah, she then left the boarding school to go to one in Atlantis instead.
Hasn't social services been after her then?
No, because they wiped the memory of all the teachers, so they never remember she was even there.
That's convenient. Okay, carry on.
Alessia tries to use her mind-controlling powers even more, and, like many other books, ends going hopelessly wrong.
How many stars are you giving?
4, because I found the chapters very short.
Oh, you want more work?
Or at least longer chapters.
So which age range is this book targeted at?
I'd say probably about my age.
Okay, so your only criticism is it's too short.
No, it's like each chapter was 5 pages. Maybe like have it so what's 2 chapters is now 1 chapter, so they're a decent length.
Right, okay, so...
But yes, fairly much that's it.
You want the book to be longer, is that what you're saying?
Or at least the chapters, yes.
And how old are you, Conrad?
12.
Just so we know your age range is.
Yeah, I'm still trying to get to grips with what your problem with the chapters is. So there's lots of chapters, but is the book the right size or does the book need
to
be longer?
The book is, however, each chapter is extremely short.
And what, you don't like seeing the word chapter 99 or something? Because...
Correct. I really do not like it when there are short chapters because it reminded me of my failed attempt at my book, which is why I'm rewriting it.
Why, did you have too many chapters?
No, it was the fact that my chapters were getting extremely short, which was a bit of an issue because I ended up with 5-page chapters.
Now, how do publishers pay you? Do they pay you by the chapter or by the word? I don't understand why. What's this fascination with chapters?
I'm not sure which they pay you by.
Isn't a chapter supposed to be a change of scene?
Generally, yes. Also, quite often, something you do with chapters is... If one chapter's really happy, you make it so the next one's not as happy.
So are you saying there's no too many swapping of scenes and emotions in this book?
Well, sometimes it changes chapter when it's the same scene.
What?
Yep.
That sounds outrageous. I hope you're going to write a letter.
Without a change in mood either, which you generally just separate with a paragraph.
Anyway, so Conrad, do you recommend this book?
Yes. I also recommend you read The Forbidden Vial first, otherwise you'll miss out on a lot of story.
But do you think it's worth starting out with the first book, now you know what the second book is like?
Yes.
So you still recommend it?
Yes.
Who's it written by?
I think it's Natalie Lane.
I think you're right as well.
We love feedback.
And this podcast is powered by your feedback and reviews.
And also ice cream.
A big thank you to everyone who posted a review or sent us feedback.
And a special thank you to Philip, who not only sent feedback and left a lovely review, he also generously topped up our ice cream fund.
Thank you!
If you haven't given us a review before or liked our Facebook page,
now is the time to step up and let us know your thoughts.
If you have any questions, send an email or a posting on Facebook. All relevant links are on our website, happyafloat.com.
And don't forget, we now have maps on the website to follow along.
And if you'd like to help us grow, spread the word. It's nice to share.
And don't forget to follow and rate us in your favourite podcast app.
If you do post a review somewhere, send us a message so we can track it down and mention you in the podcast.
Happyafloat.com.
Next time aboard Happy Afloat.
What awaits us on Hander Island?
And a blast from the past.
Worryingly, Featherstream Prop Talk returns.
Until next time, happy sailing!